Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Today, I'm preaching out of Mark. The first Sunday of the month, a different elder will be up here preaching on the next section of Mark. So you remember, Mike was up here. That got us all started on eating those grasshoppers, which I do not eat. That's not my cup of tea. So we are going on to the next section, and I have entitled this sermon, The Real Deal. And my hope is that we can look at things, facts, foundations of our faith. And is that me echoing, or and make them real in our lives? That's the thought. Okay, for you people out here that don't do Facebook, you can ignore this. You people that do Facebook, how many of you get reels, R-E-E-L-S, show up on your... Are they real, R-E-A-L? Most of the time, not. So I'm not talking Facebook reels or computer reels. I'm talking R-E-A-L reels. You know, I was having a conversation with another guy one time, and we were talking about things and stuff, kind of wrapping up. And he said to me, thank you for being real. When you think of that in conversation, if you say, thanks for being real, what image or other words or thought does that bring to your mind? When somebody is real, it's authentic, it's meaningful, there's communication, they're just real to us. And that's what I'm hoping that our faith, sometimes we might feel like our faith is over here, and our life is over here, and it's hard to make that real over here. Sometimes. And that's not the way it should be. Our faith and our lives should merge together as real. As real. In everything in our life, our faith should be involved in it. It is real to us. The definition of real is existing or occurring as fact, actual, rather than imaginary, ideal, or fictitious. We want to have the real deal in our lives. So we're going to look at the story out of Mark of Jesus' baptism and temptation and look at five realities or reals of our faith. And this is going to be the new part for me. Can we pull this up? Yes? Whoops, now, yeah, okay. All right, so we're going to be in we're going to be in Mark, Chapter 1, verse 9. And I'll just read it to you if you have your Bibles and want to... See, I can't do two things at once. Jerry's walking up here to help me. Okay, I'll just read it to you. Mark 1, 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. Okay, I have five words to help you remember what I'm going to say today, and I took some liberties on them, but hopefully they'll help you remember them. And they all five start with an S, okay? The first thing we're going to look at is a real senor. I'll explain later. The second thing, a real soaking. The third thing is a real spirit. The fourth thing is a real specialness. And the last one is a real Satan. That's what we're going to be looking at today. So Jesus' baptism is the one of the events described here. And in Jesus' baptism, I used the term, we see a real senor. Well, I had to have an S. What I really wanted to say is man, person, something, but I couldn't come up with one. Jesus is a real person. He's a real senor. So that's why where the word comes from. Remember that. Jesus is a real person. Verse 9 says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. What do we learn about Jesus here? He had a name, Jesus. He had a hometown, Nazareth. He had a home state, kind of, Galilee. Jesus was a real person. But in our faith, Jesus, as a real person, was also totally God, but he was a real person. He understands everything going on over here in our life. He totally understands our humanness. That's kind of hard for us to grasp because he was perfect, he was God, he was 100% God, but he was also 100% human. That ought to help us connect our faith with our life here on earth. Jesus understands everything. The Bible even tells us, for we do not have a high priest who is Jesus. We do not have a Jesus who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Since Jesus is a real person, he therefore understands and identifies with us all. He is a real person, and he understands you, your life, your circumstances, your time in life, where you're at. Some of us are older, and we're here 8 years ago when Mike spoke. Some of us are younger, and we weren't even born when Mike spoke. There's a few of them in here like that. But no matter where we're at in our life, Jesus understands us. We sing this song. He is for us, not against us. If I had Jamie up here, I'd let her, Carrie, they could sing it, but I'm not going to sing it. But it's that idea. Jesus was totally human. He had a name, he had a hometown, and he understands our lives. He is real in our lives. Jesus is real in our lives. The good times and the bad times. Second point in this. No good? Okay. Second point. Real soaking. Jesus had a baptism. Now, Mike alluded a little bit that this idea of baptism was kind of new. It wasn't real prominent in the Old Testament. And so he was baptized. But if you remember, he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. He was baptized in a real place, but John's baptism is not the same baptism that we've had done or should have done as Christians. It's a different baptism. Hey, let's go back to the beginning and start over. We got plenty of time, right? let me get to where we're at. Real senor. Jesus is a real person. Now you see it. Real senor. Jesus was a real person. Jesus understands us. Real soaking. Just another word for his baptism. Jesus had a real baptism. Just a map here, and I don't know if you guys in the back could see it. Dead Sea, Sea of Galilee, Jerusalem, Jericho. Somewhere in that Jericho area is where John had been baptizing and preaching a baptism of repentance. and Jesus went out to visit him. Picture of the Jericho River. It's not the Mississippi River. It's more like the Little Elkhart River, or maybe the Elkhart River. It's not real big, but that's where Jesus was baptized. And if you go there, there's touristy places where they have it all laid out, where, but we really don't know. But he was baptized. It was a real baptism. And it was a baptism of repentance. John said in Matthew, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance. He, meaning Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Another illustration of John's baptism being different was in Acts, we find Paul found some believers who said, we're baptized. And he said, what baptism? And they said, the baptism of John. And they didn't know anything about this baptism of Jesus in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know about that. They had been baptized. So the baptism of John is different from the baptism we have today. But John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And I would equate that more with our salvation. Talking about your faith being real in your life, one of those things that's absolute is you have to have a point of repentance and salvation in your life, or you don't really have a faith. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. So if you are here at church today and you're saying, yes, I want my faith to be real, the first step in that is this idea of baptism of repentance. We have to have a baptism of repentance in our life. So Jesus had a real baptism, and John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, and we have to have repentance in our lives. And also, for those of you who have asked Jesus into your life, are saved, there is the baptism we know today that you should have done if you haven't. I just want to encourage you. If you're saved, you know Jesus has saved you, if you ask for forgiveness of sins, and have not been baptized, you should be. And we can discuss that sometime outside of here. You can see one of the elders or talk to your parents if you're a child and get an understanding of what baptism is. So we start our faith with repentance. The third S is there's a real spirit. The Bible says that he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. I like this idea of the heaven torn open. How many of you got an Amazon package this week? Oh, come on. There's got to be a few more than that. You get the Amazon package and you tear it open to see what's in it. Heaven was being torn open, kind of like the Christmas gift. You tear it open to see what's in it. I think when Jesus came especially, we now do have small glimpses of heaven here in this life. We don't know what heaven's at all like in totality, all the greatness that's going to be there. But Jesus and our lives here on earth experience just a little bit of heaven as it's being torn open in our lives and in the world, and gives us a hope of the future. This passage of Scripture shows us that the Spirit is real and one of the three persons of the Trinity. All the people of the Trinity are mentioned in this passage in Mark. And it tells us that the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus and he descends on us. The Holy Spirit descends on us at different times. In Acts, there's mentions of the Holy Spirit coming down at Pentecost on the 120 people. And in a separate place, it talks about when Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, preached to the Sanhedrin. So the Holy Spirit is real in our lives. The Holy Spirit, when you were saved, descended upon you and is in your life. No question. The Holy Spirit's in your life. If you've done that, if you've gone through that baptism of repentance, the Holy Spirit is in your life. The Holy Spirit is real. The idea of a dove shows us the gentleness that he has. And then another part mentioned here in the Holy Spirit is that the Spirit sent Jesus out into the desert. He was the Spirit who powered and impelled Christ to the wilderness. The Spirit led Jesus. He'll also lead us. If you want to connect your faith with your daily life, if you want it to be real, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Ask for His guidance. Be aware of Him. When the fear is coming, be aware of the Holy Spirit to help you. When the anger's coming, be aware of the Holy Spirit there with that power to help you be what you ought to be in that moment to overcome the temptation. The Holy Spirit will lead us. The second word that starts with an S, real specialness. Couldn't come up with an S word for love except specialness. So it's love. The Father said, "You are my Son, whom I love." God's love is a real part of our faith. And the Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world." God loves everybody. Now that doesn't take away His justice and His righteousness and the penalty for sin that has to be paid. It doesn't take that away, but He does love everyone. He loves everyone. And those that have asked for the repentance has that penalty taken away. But God does love everyone. God's love is greater than we can imagine. God's love is greater than we can imagine. God says to you, "You are my son or daughter whom I love." Do you need to God's love in some manner in your life to make your faith real? Or do you need His love to begin your faith journey? God does love us. And I also thought of this, practical thing. Father's Day is coming up. Dads, tell this to all your kids. Sometime in the next 2 weeks. I love you. That's a perfect example of what our Heavenly Father did with His Son. He said that, "I love you." And I think that would be a good thing for us to be thinking about. And another thing on love is then the second greatest commandment is love others as yourself. We ought to be loving others as ourselves. I read a long time ago in Reader's Digest a story of don't count my facts here. Fourth grader, fifth grader with the cancer, had to go get chemo, radiation, all that stuff that many of us have been too closely associated with today in our lives or in other people's lives. And he was good enough to go back to school. And his worry was he had no hair. When he went back to school and opened the door, every boy in that class was as bald as could be. That is loving others. That's how we should connect with others. Feel for others. That God loved us and we can love others. Then finally, in the temptation of Jesus, we see a real Satan. Verse 13 tells us, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. The real Satan. Now, wilderness. What's this wilderness look like? You see a little roof in this picture. That's supposed to be a place where Jesus was baptized. The green area is kind of the Jordan where He was baptized. But look beyond it. That's the wilderness. 40 days He was out there in the wilderness and being tempted. And the Bible and the other Gospels lets on that He was tempted more than just the three temptations that are recorded. He was tempted often while He was out there. Satan is real, but remember, Satan is limited in his power. Don't think of God over here and the opposite is Satan. Satan is nowhere near the opposite of God. God is way over there, infinite, and then you come over here and, okay, Satan's evil, he's got some power, he can do some things, but he's nowhere near the evil opposite of God. He can only be in one place. He doesn't know everything. Satan is very limited, but he is powerful. And temptation is real. Jesus was tempted by him, and we are tempted. The wilderness is a picture of those times of trials and testing in our lives that are intense and focused, and is a time when the devil or our emotions, our old self, the world will come and tempt us. We have vulnerable times in our lives when temptation will come, and we need to resist it even at that time. Jesus was tempted by Satan. Now, I would guess that none of us in this room have ever been tempted by Satan himself directly, because he can only be one place at one time. Maybe you have. It could be. But more likely it was one of his demons or angels. Or the place we all get it from is our old self. We have that old sinful nature in there that we are fighting against. The Bible talks about it. And that's a place of temptation. Or sometimes it's the world around us. The circumstances, the influence, the peer pressure, all of that can be a temptation to us and cause us to sin. And Jesus, again, remember the first real Señor? He has lived as a human and knows all about temptation. He knows all about the things we're facing in our lives and our weaknesses and the things that we struggle with. But we have the power to overcome temptation. Temptation is meant for our good. None of us escape temptation, but one thing is sure. Temptations are not sent to make us fall. They are sent to us to strengthen the nerve and the sinew of our minds and hearts and souls. Now, Barclay's an old commentator, but he has an illustration that's a little dated in the wording, but this is what he says. Suppose a lad is a football player. Suppose he's doing well on the second team and shows signs of promise. Then what will his coach do? He certainly will not send him out to play for the third team, in which he could walk through the game and never break a sweat. He will send him out to play with the first team, where he will be tested as he was never tested before. He will give him a chance to prove himself in the greater test. That is what temptation has meant to do. We have never been tempted beyond what we're able to bear. But temptation is there to make us mature in our life, to grow in our life, to be more Christ-like. And he gives us tools to overcome temptation with his scripture, the Holy Spirit, prayer, even fellowship with friends and fellow believers can help us overcome that temptations. And finally, at times, and maybe you've experienced this, in a time in your life when you're really in despair, needing help, an actual angel comes. Now, the people I have talked to, most of the time angels aren't white robes with wings and stuff. Most of the time they're an unexplained person. Where did he come from? Where did he go? How did he know? Probably could be that was an angel in your life that took care of a need, took care of something you need at that moment. So temptation is real, and we need to resist temptation. So my final thoughts. Here's our faith that is real. Here's our life that needs to bring that real into our lives and live it every day. Real Señor. Jesus is real in my life and understands me. I guess I should ask this question. What do you need to recognize from our real faith to increase your real life, your awareness? Number one, that Jesus is real in my life and understands me. What do you need to recognize as real in your life? Second one, a real soaking. Make repentance and salvation a real part in my life. That's the beginning point. A real spirit. The spirit is real in my life to guide me. Do we know that, sense that, rely on him, look to him? real specialness. God's love is real, and He loves me more than I can imagine. And finally, some of the hard part of life, real Satan. Temptation is real, and by the Holy Spirit's power, I can overcome it. So just wherever you're at in your life, which one of those points kind of hit home today? I really need to understand and know that to make my faith real in my everyday life. Tomorrow morning is Monday. That Monday's just a whole lot different than Sunday. But can we take our faith and get it into Monday, get it into Tuesday, every moment and every day of our life? That's key. Let's pray.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.